Hallelujah. You know, there's this dictionary where sometimes, so I'll know what some of the folks are saying when they text me or send me a message. I have to go to the Urban Dictionary. Okay. Sometimes I think I need a Holy Ghost dictionary because he always gives me these new words. So he'll have it there with you. Say, what does that mean? Oh, wait a minute. Let me look it up. Here it is. Okay. But let's start, as always, with John 3. Here we go. I'm going to read verse 16 out of the Good News Bible. And then I'm going to read verses, chapter 13, verses 34 and 35 out of the Living Bible, the New Living Bible. For God, you can read it in any translation, doesn't matter. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not die but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to be its judge, but to be its savior. God didn't send us into the world to be the world's judge. He sent us here so that we can lead this world to the savior. We're not the saviors. We're the compass. We lead them to the savior. And this is one of the ways we do it. John 13. Verses 34 and 35. So I give you a new command. Love each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, I really do love you with the love of the Lord. Remember the ways that I have loved you and demonstrate your love for others in those same ways. Everyone will know you as my followers if you demonstrate your love to others. Amen. Now, if you want to get the full understanding of where we are, you need to listen to last Sunday's message. I have 21 pages of notes. I don't have time to go back. Okay. And stop that saying, please don't let them go through all those pages today. But in Luke 10, let's start there. First, I want you to know that I spoke with Mom this morning. She's doing well. She sends her love, and she'll see you just as soon as she can. Okay. Come on, yeah, that's better. Jesus had sent out the 70, gave them power over unclean spirits to heal all diseases, and they did that. And the beginning of that chapter says they came back, they returned with joy, because they said, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, and really as I started thinking about this, he was really not talking to them in the present tense. He says, behold, I give unto you power. It's like he's looking at them like, what are you all excited about? I gave you power. All right. That's really the setting I believe it was. Because Jesus certainly wasn't surprised that they could do what he said they could do. But I think he was surprised that they were surprised. So he said, look, I give you power. Because that I gave you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means harm you. Philip's translation said, it's true, I've given you the power to tread on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the enemy's power. There is nothing at all that can do you any harm. Amen. The Message Bible says, I've given you safe passage as you walk. He didn't say, I give you safe passage while you sit home playing video games. He said, I give you safe passage as you walk on snakes and scorpions, and protection from every assault of the enemy. No one can put a hand on you. No one can put a hand on you. And one of my favorites is, you know, the Amplified Version says, I've given you physical and mental. And it's important to understand that, because we keep talking about the devil. He keeps putting these thoughts in my head. I've given you spiritual and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses.
Hallelujah.
That means, I want my little taters right now, if we ever have an advisory session, please don't come to me and say, the devil is telling me all these things and making me think all that. I may jump up and say, liar, liar, pants on fire. All right? He doesn't have that kind of power.
All right.
The scripture says you have physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that he has. And nothing shall in any way harm you. And the voice says, you can smash vipers and scorpions under your feet. You can walk all over the power of the enemy. Folks, there shouldn't be any place you're afraid to go. Yeah, stop that. Get rid of that mentality. Well, this is a bad area. I mean, we went through an area this week, Pastor Ed, and it seemed like every corner, folks were out there all dressed in the same color. Didn't bother me. Didn't bother me. Why? Because if it's the power of the enemy, it's in trouble. Because I was given power to walk all over it. And if I happen to be in the car, I'll drive all over it. Okay? Whatever it is, but we have to stop wimping out and blaming it on wisdom. Well, you know, wisdom says you don't go in that neighborhood after 10 o'clock at night. Oh, so I guess God was devoid of wisdom when he told you to go. All right. Physical and mental strength and ability over all the power. Walk all over the power of the enemy. So it's clear. It's crystal clear, at least it should be crystal clear, that he's given us all the power we need.
Amen.
All of it. And we should be accomplishing everything that he told us to accomplish. Everything. Now, quickly, just a couple of quick definitions. Power. Then I got a word with, oh, Deacon Tony's not here. I got a word for him today. No, not a spiritual word, a word. Right? The ability, I have a spiritual word for all of us today. The ability to do or act, capability of doing or accomplishing something, great or marked ability, control or command over others. All dictionary definitions of power. It's delegated authority. How many of you know that there is a whole lot of power in a traffic light? Okay. I mean, it doesn't matter what kind of car you're driving. If it turns red and you don't stop, you're going to pay a price. And if you make a habit of that, you won't have to concern yourself with driving for a while. Okay. Because that inanimate object will cause you to lose your driving privileges because you didn't recognize and yield to its authority. And it's an inanimate object. We're not inanimate objects. And we're filled with that same type of power. And anyone or anything that doesn't yield to it will pay a penalty. Because we're backed up by every cubic inch of heaven. However big you think heaven is, that's how much power is filled in us. All the power of heaven. How do you say that? Well, because God gave all power to Jesus. And he said he gave it to us. The same power, exousia. Exousia, the same power. And you can look up that word in the dictionary. Someone asked me the spelling last week, E-X-O-U-S-I-A. And just simply stated, it's the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. Must be. He said, well, how can you say that? Go to Psalm 8. Must be. O Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, and thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast made, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Let's read verse 6 together. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. Where have we heard that before? Genesis 1. Okay. So God created us to have authority and power. Now we're going to move forward to Matthew 16. And we know this is the account when Jesus said, you know, who do men say I am? And they started telling him things they heard. And then Peter got the word from God. Verse 16. I'm in the Message Bible. Simon Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Jesus came back, God bless you, Simon, son of Jonah. You didn't get that answer out of books or from teachers. My Father in heaven, God himself, let you in on this secret of who I really am. I love what he says next. And now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church. A church so expansive with energy, you could say a church so expansive with power, that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. Now, let me tell you why I like that translation so much. We usually say the gates of hell shall not prevail. But that translation says the gates of hell will not be able to keep the church out. So why are we getting upset? Because it seems like there are areas that's just overrun with demonic oppression, possession, witchcraft. And we are the church. We're founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Christ, the Son of the living God, has already said the gates of hell cannot keep the church out. So we should be, what I think Dodie and Rambo, they wrote a song, Storming the Gates of Hell. I mean, they should be hoping that we don't break through. But it's inevitable. All we have to do to break through is go. I mean, that's it. We just have to show up. Well, how can you say that? Well, the same power that was in Jesus, he gave to us. And I clearly remember when the soldiers came to take him, they said, "We're looking for Jesus." He said, "I am." They all fell out. Okay. So we go to these areas. "Here I am, folks. Back away." Right. They recognize who you are. But they're not going to recognize it if you don't recognize it. Okay. But there's more. It says you will have complete and free access to God's kingdom. Keys to open any and every door. Now, what do you think that means? You walk around saying, "I need a miracle." You have keys. You go to heaven. Oh, miracles. Unlock the door and take what you need. He gave you the keys. Your body needs healing. Okay. You go to heaven. Healing. Open the door. Get what you need. Get what you need. You're saying, "Oh, finances. Lord, why are you fretting? You have the keys to the kingdom of heaven." You go to heaven. And you find the door that says vault. You unlock it and get what you need. Not what you want. You get what you need. Because he said, whatever you say yes to on earth, it's yes in heaven. What you say no to on earth, it's no in heaven. So the enemy comes and he's trying to take our children. You say no. And heaven sends whatever's necessary to enforce your no.
Amen.
Period. So why are we getting all upset about these things? So, Lord, what they putting on the media? No. We're going to find out what in a few moments why the no's don't appear to be working. But he said, there are no more barriers. None. But let's go to Luke 9. I know I'm moving quickly. I'm trying to get all this in. I don't want to keep you here right through the evening service. No, I want to eat too. Okay. I'm going to read the first six verses. Then he, Jesus, called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils. All. Doesn't matter what shape, what size, were they smart devils, dumb devils, little devils, strong devils. Doesn't matter. The only thing that's relevant is that is the devil. If it's the devil, you got power over it. Period. All right, whether it's my size or this size, you got power over it. All right. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He didn't give them the power and said, "Stay here, I'm going to send the people to you." He sent them out and he said, "Take nothing for your journey." I will. God just said, "Be all right, behave." I said, I had some thoughts about that one. Okay. "Neither stave nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece." Don't go out in all your pomp and circumstance. Just go. "And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them." He didn't say talk about them. All he said was shake the dust off your feet and keep going. "And they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere." Everywhere. Some translations say healing all the people. So that means they didn't encounter any person with anything that they couldn't handle. Why? Jesus gave them power. They believed that they had the power, and then they acted like they had the power, and they got the results. And that should have been it. You say, in my generation, everything should have been hunky-dory. Been fine. And then they have the experience, not going to go into it with on the Mount of Transfiguration, but let's drop down to verse 37. Now, mind you, Jesus gave them the power, they used the power, and it worked every time. Verse 37. And it came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him, that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly, departeth from him. I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And I'm like, what? That's what I would have done. I said, excuse me? You took them to who, and they couldn't do what? My disciples couldn't handle this? You got to be kidding me. See, that's where that song came in. That made me want to shout. All right. Lay my hands out around their necks. But you need to think about that. Jesus gave them power over every devil. So what do you mean I can't cast this one out? He didn't say I gave you power over every devil except super devil. He didn't say that. So why couldn't they cast them out? They couldn't do anything. Maybe they never faced that type of devil before. I don't care. It doesn't matter. They only needed to recognize one thing. What was that? It's a devil. I have power over it. Well, I would certainly, how many of you have had young children? Now, did you have power and authority over your children?
Yes.
Anybody have any children that they always listen every single time the first time? But you had power and authority. I hope you didn't run off and say, I can't do anything with them. They won't listen to me. You're like, no, I'm the parent. You the child, you do a Bill Cosby. I brought you in this world. I'll take you out. Okay. Right. Same principle. Let's look at Matthew's account. And I believe I'm in the Message Bible. At the bottom of the mountain, they were met by a crowd of waiting people. As they approached, a man came out of the crowd and fell to his knees, begging, Master, have mercy on my son. He goes out of his mind and suffers terribly, falling into seizures. Frequently he is, listen to this, and I'm sure he shared this with the disciples. Frequently, he's pitched into the fire. Other times, into the river. I brought him to your disciples. Why do you think he took him to the disciples? He probably heard about everything they did going throughout all the cities and healing all diseases, casting out all the devils. So it makes sense. You take him to them. I brought him to your disciples, but they could do nothing for him. Why? They had a power outage. They had a power outage. They couldn't produce the exousia that was needed to correct the circumstances. They had it, but they couldn't produce it. And the question is, why not? They did it before. Why weren't they doing it now? Jesus answered, he said, "What a generation. No sense of God. No focus to your lives. How many times do I have to go over these things? How much longer do I have to put up with this? Bring the boy here." He ordered the afflicting demon out, and it was gone. Just like that. Get out. Okay. Gone. From that moment on, the boy was well. Now think about it. Jesus gave his disciples the same power he has. So the demon obeyed him. Why wasn't there one disciple that it would obey? Because the man said, "I took him to your disciples," plural, "and they could do nothing," collectively. Not that's just like with a mighty Israeli army. Here come Goliath. Nobody can do anything. Everybody's intimidated. Everybody forgets who they are. Same question happens today. How come I'm not seeing the miracles? How come I'm not receiving an instant manifestation? How come my neighborhood's not changing? How come my job isn't changing? How come I'm still unemployed? Well, when the questions are the same, the answer has to be the same. And Jesus gave us the answer in verse 20. And it's why we're experiencing power outages, because we're not yet taking God seriously. We are not yet taking God seriously. The simple truth is that if you had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, say, you would tell this mountain, "Move," and it would move. There's nothing that you wouldn't be able to tackle. So why did Jesus say you're not taking God seriously? Well, he told us that in verse 17 when he said, "What a generation, no sense of God, no focus to your lives." How many times do I have to keep going over this? How much longer do we have to put up with this? We're going to look at those. No sense of God. I learned a new word, analogous. It means similarity or comparability. It's like a computer is analogous with a brain. Okay, they work the same way. But Jesus said, you have no sense of God. We're not on the same wavelength is God. They want thinking like God. They want thinking like it. After all that they had been through with Jesus, and I'm going to tell you in a little bit just some of the things they had experienced before that happened, but they just couldn't make the connection. They had no God sense at all. And that's what happens with some of us. We get so caught up, we forget who God is. We forget that he's always there. That's why I hesitate when I sing those songs, you know, I call out his name and he'll come running. From where? He's with me. I'm right here. I don't need to sit down and say, "Phyllis, honey," and she comes, she's with me. She's with me. Always. That's the same way God is always with us, but we don't have a sense of that. Because if they had a sense of it, their attitude would have been, they in trouble. They're about to find out that the power of the Godhead is getting ready to jump in their chest. All right? But he said, no focus to your lives. No focus. Think of Miss Miyagi. Gotta focus. No focus. No, listen, no central point as of attraction or activity. You're not centered on who you are in Christ. Not centered on that. No clear and sharply defined condition or image of not only God, but of who you are in Christ. It's not sharp. It's not crystal clear. So things come up and you make a determination. Oh, I can handle this. Or no, I can't handle that. Amen. When the truth is, if we had the focus, we know we could handle anything. Why? Because Jesus already said so. He said there wouldn't be anything that we couldn't handle. But we have to have a sense of God. We have to have a clear focus. Look at Mark 4. And this is out of the voice. Do 16 to 19. Talking about the parable of the sower. Said, others are seed thrown among the rocks. Those people hear the word and receive it immediately with joy and enthusiasm. See, when Jesus sent them out and gave them power, they were excited. But apparently, they didn't take the time to meditate on what they were really, truly given. They didn't make it an integral part of their lives. They figure, okay, this is just for now. Now it's over. It's like, okay, you know, the miracles, everything's fine. We're here in the church, in this building. Then we leave, then now we go out to the real world. I'm like, where were you before? Why can I say that? Verse 17. But without deep roots. Say deep roots.
Deep roots.
No, deep roots.
Deep roots.
Okay, because that's the way it has to be. It has to be down deep in you. Without deep roots, doubt, trouble, or persecution instantly withers their faith. Instantly. They saw this boy, they probably went to cast out and saw all this foam coming out of him. They're like, ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah. You do it, Luke. You know, I'm not. Oh. You the physician? What? I ain't never seen no stuff like that. mean, instantly forgot who they were. So maybe we don't have the power to heal that spirit. Power outage. Okay. Verse 18. Still others are the seed tossed among weeds and brambles. Listen to this. The word has reached them, but the things of this life, the worries, the drive for more and more, the desires for other things. See, some of you are experiencing a power outage because you're concerned about this world and this world's customs. You're concerned about it. You want to be a part of it. You're thinking about things that you've been told. You say, oh, ooh. Maybe the biopsy is going to be positive. Then what am I going to do? What do you mean, what are you going to do? You're going to go to heaven, open up the right door, and God will take care of it. I mean, it's just that simple. It's just that simple. I know I should be praying. I know. You don't have to tell me, Pastor Greg. I know. But you don't understand. See, I'm up for this promotion. I could really use that extra money. So I got to study. I got to learn all these new procedures. God understands. Well, you're right. He does. He understands that he said, seek first his kingdom and his God. And the kingdom of God and all his righteousness. And he'll add all those things unto you. That's saying, I don't have to do any work. No, that's saying you take care of what God wants you to do and he'll take care of everything else. That's what that means. But we get this thing reversed. I know I should be in prayer service, but I took a second job. Why? Well, I want to get a new car. What's the matter with you? Oh, no, it runs fine, but it's 10 years old. The desire for other things. You know, I know God has called me to fill this particular position. But, you know, I'm not ready to give up some things. And I know it's a requirement and I can't serve. But I'm just not quite ready yet. But I know God called. I know God. He's spoken to me about it. Power outage. You're wondering how come things aren't happening. You cut off the power. Why? Cares of this world. Desire for worldly things. And it's not necessarily bad things. But if it's stopping you from doing what God has called you to do, then it is a bad thing for you. And it causes a power outage for you. And you're wearing your knees raw praying about things when it's not prayer that you need. It's obedience to what God called you to do that you need. And that will start the power flowing again. Amen. We have to get that understanding. I had to get that understanding. Let me tell you something, folks. There are things that I want to do other than read the Bible and study. There are things that I want to do, okay? I have to make a choice. There's some things I want. There's some words I want to release sometimes. Amen. Hey, look, I'm flesh and blood. Okay. I'm not a spirit. I'm a spirit being. But my spirit is inside this flesh house. And this flesh house sometimes has a mind of its own. And I have to let it know who's boss. And I have to let it know it's not me, because if it were me, I'd be in trouble. Okay. See, we have to make choices based on being analogous with God, thinking like Him, exactly like Him, and you will respond like Him, and others will respond as if you were Him. Well, that's power. Whose will and commands must be obeyed by others. But if you don't act like you have it, that passage concludes, those things cluster around close and choke the life of God out of them, and they cannot produce. Cannot produce. Not taking God seriously. Still another piece. Jesus said to them, how many times do I have to go over these things? How many times? He all but called them knuckleheads. Well, because that's what they were. Right? These are some of the things that occurred before that incident. All right? He taught them on what the Bible refers to as the Sermon on the Mount. When we studied that out, we realized it wasn't a sermon. He was talking to his disciples and other folks heard it, okay? Because it says he turned to his disciples and taught them. So he taught them on the mountain. He taught them how to pray. He calmed the storm. He calmed the storm. Talked to him about faith when he did that. He healed the centurion's servant. And again mentioned faith. And that time he said, I haven't seen that great faith. Disciples should have said, just keep watching us. You'll see it. He healed the woman with the issue of blood, raised Jairus' daughter, taught the parable of the sower, fed the 5,000, and if that wasn't enough, he sent them out, he gave them power and then sent them out to heal and cast out devils. And he told them they were the church. And he told them what that meant. So the assumption was, they got it. That was the assumption. And it was, I think that was a fair assumption. You spend all that time learning all those things, but he didn't. They had not developed their faith. Through all of that, they never started thinking like God. We're exposed to great teaching, and that's not me patting myself on my back. That's all the word that's gone through this place. From the founders till now. We've had outstanding teaching here. You would think nobody in this place would ever be lacking faith. But it's not so. And that's not to make anybody feel bad, it's just the truth. Because Jesus said the simple truth is that if we had a mere kernel of faith, a poppy seed, we would tell the mountain move and it would move. And there is nothing that we wouldn't be able to handle. But if you're not taking God seriously, you're not developing your faith, you're not thinking like God, you're not focusing in, you don't have a clear image of who you are in Christ, and we're not paying attention to the teaching that we've received, we have a power outage. Situation comes, and we lack faith. Look at 1 John, please. Are you understanding this? This is 1 John 2. As soon as I get back to it. And this is out of the voice. In verse 15. Don't fall in love with this corrupt world or worship the things it can offer. Those who love its corrupt ways, listen to this, folks, and I'll tell you the relevance shortly, don't have the Father's love living within them. If you're going after the things of this world, you don't have the love of God in you. I didn't say it. It's what's written. And I looked in a lot of translations. It all says the same thing. Okay? All the things the world can offer to you, the allure of its pleasure and the passion to have things and the pompous sense of superiority, being full of yourself, do not come from the Father. These are the rotten fruits of this world. This corrupt world is already wasting away, as are its selfish desires. But the person really doing God's will, that person will never cease to be. See, John is telling us if we love the world and its corrupt ways, the love of the Father isn't in us. But what's important to know, because it zaps your faith away, because the Bible says faith worketh by. So let's think about that. If I'm going after the things of the world and love of them, the love of God isn't in me, and faith worketh by love, but I don't have love in me. So if I don't have love in me, how can I have faith? If I don't have faith, how can I develop the sense of God? We need to understand that. And that's what the world is trying to do. It's trying to take away or at least dilute your love of the love of God in you. That's what it's trying to do. Why? Well, Jesus told us, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If that love gets diluted, you might keep my commandments. If that love isn't there, you won't keep my commandments. If we don't have the love of God in us, we can't have faith active in us. If we don't have faith active in us, we don't have the power. We'll experience power outage. The danger in that is that if we allow it to continue, we'll stop believing God's existence altogether. And where will that leave us? Matthew 13. I'm in the Message Bible. I'm beginning at verse 53. Reads, when Jesus finished telling these stories, he left there, returned to his hometown, and gave a lecture in the meeting house. That means he went into the temple and taught. He made a real hit, impressing everyone. That wasn't his desire. That was just what the people did. We had no idea he was this good, they said. How did he get so wide, get such ability? But in the next breath... they were cutting him down. We've known him since he was a kid. Now you're talking about, I'm the son of God. Yeah. He's the carpenter's son. That's whose son he is. We know his mother, Mary. We know his brothers, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas. All his sisters live here. Who does he think he is? It says they got their noses all out of joint. But Jesus said, a prophet is taken for granted in his hometown and family. He didn't do many miracles. He didn't do them. Because of their hostile indifference, is how the Message Bible puts it. Other translations just say, because of their unbelief. Now think about it. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Right. So, was he devoid of power? He had it yesterday, he had it that day, and he still has it today. The same power. Why couldn't it show? Even though he had the power. What is it that they wouldn't believe? Why wouldn't they believe he was the Son of God? Because they knew him? Why wouldn't they believe that he had all power? Because they saw him grow up from a little kid? I mean, what does it matter? I mean, he can heal me. Hey, he never went to doctor school. I mean, what's he talking about? All of a sudden he disappears and whoop, comes back and now he's somebody? Because of their unbelief. They didn't have, they couldn't muster up any power to receive the power he had. So they stayed sick. They stayed demon-possessed. They stayed bound. Because they didn't want to believe that it could happen with someone from their own hometown. Would have been better if he was an Egyptian. Then maybe they believe. I mean, well, what's the difference? God says we're healed. Doctor says we're sick. We act like we're sick. It's the same principle. I'm not denying our bodies don't get attacked. I'm not denying that some of us are going through them. I'm not denying that. But you don't have to act like it. You can still keep saying what God says. You need to spend time. Since you have the keys, you open up the door, you go in the room, and you don't come out until you have everything you need. I mean, that's. And you forget about what's going on anywhere else. Now, really, you receive a diagnosis that the world says ain't no hope. And you know you need to be meditating on the word, and you need to be doing your confessions and just surrounding yourself, enveloping yourself in the word of God. Developing, making sure you have a keen sense of what God is saying about what you're going through. That your focus is totally, entirely centered on who you are in Christ. But the Knicks are playing. Oh, but Idol's coming on. What's that new program, honey, that folks that they were talking about when you were in the salon? No, I don't know. It had some funny name like Defiance or Outrageous or something like that. Some ridiculous program or movie. Whatever it is, you know, we said, well, I'm going to take a break. Excuse me? You're going to take a break and break down? If you don't stay there, you're not going to get what you're supposed to have from God. And you're going to be stuck with what the world says you got. And what the world and all that the world says you can do, you're going to be limited by the world. Amen. Why? No sense of God. No focus. Not seeing ourselves as to who we are. The Amplified Bible says they were amazed. They said, where did he get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is this not the carpenter's son? Verse 57 said they took offense at him. Listen to it. They were repelled and hindered from acknowledging his authority, and it caused them to stumble. And in verse 58 said, he could not do many works of power there because of their unbelief, their lack of faith in a divine mission. Now, I'm going to make this statement. Well, you see here my father say, when he's standing up here and we get ready to say something, say, oh, I'm going to make this statement. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just love you too much to leave you the way you are, number one. And I love God too much to not say what he told me to say. As a matter of truth, when he told me this, now I was sharing it with my wife, this morning. I wasn't sharing with Deacon Phillips. I was sharing with my wife. Because when God told me this, I was like, God, because it was 20 minutes. It was 3:15 or 3:20 this morning. I'm like, God, can I go to sleep and we pick this up in the morning? I'm not ready for this right now. He was like, go to bed, son. When I woke up, it's like, all right, you ready? Like, at least brush my teeth, something. No. And I called, I spoke with Mom this morning, and I shared it with her. Pastor Ed and I know that some here are still holding on to Redeeming Love Christian Center, Clinton and Sarah Utterbach pastors. We know that. We received our spiritual training here under their tutelage. And we are and forever will be eternally grateful to God and to them for all that they've done for us. We've done nothing No politicking, you know, no lobbying to get in the office of pastor. Furthest thing from our minds. But Pastor Clinton stepped out of time into eternity. And Pastor Sarah is now Pastor Sarah, Senior Pastor Emeritus, and she said she's retired. And God decided that Edward Funstein and Gregory Carr are co-presidents and co-pastors of Redeeming Love Christian Center. Some of you knew us prior to our becoming pastors. You knew us. You knew where we were. You knew how we acted. You saw, may have saw some things. May have heard some things. Okay. Because that's who we were. And some of you still want Pastor Sarah to be the only pastor, and it's causing a power outage in your life. Because you're not receiving the new thing that God is doing. And God said some believe that you can't relate to them because you're men. Hey, I have five sisters. I had a mother, had a daughter, have a wife. There's very little you can tell me that I don't already know. I knew everybody's menstrual cycle. I knew what to go and get. Okay. I knew how to properly dispose. Okay. And I knew how to stay away. Okay. Okay. I was there for all the boyfriends. Okay. I was there for through mistakes. I was there through fornication. I was there through attempted rapes. I was there through it all. Pastor Ed has sisters. He's been through similar things. Why am I telling you this? We understand more than you know. But despite all of that, and if we didn't have any of that, one thing we do have, we have the exact same Holy Ghost that leaded and guided Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah, and they're leading and guiding us. And we're settled. We've got it settled. You have to get it settled. Because what it's doing, it's hindering your power, and if it's hindering your power, it's hindering the power of this corporate body. And God didn't place us here to have a power outage. He placed us here to push, not to push back the darkness, to push out the darkness and to bring the people home to Him. So we all have to have the same analogous thoughts. We have to be analogous with God's thoughts. We have to think just like Him. We have to see things the way He sees them. We have to say it the way He says it. We got to stay focused on who we are individually. Individually. Because you only focus on who you are when you're here in the assembly. When the devil gets you out there one-on-one, he's going to have his way with you. You got to focus individually on who you are in Christ and what that means. And you got to take in all the teaching. The Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord. You need to make sure that you keep hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. That's the only way you're going to get to the point where you will know. We are the church. We're the church, folks. Founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ. not was, is the Christ, the Son of God. Amen. We're just. Yes. So we have to live by faith. Amen. So that means we have to love. Because without love, our faith won't work. Because it works by love. So any opinions or attitudes we have about anybody has to go, because if you allow them to stay, you are not operating in love. It will affect your faith. Now think about this. It's not in my notes, but the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he gave us the spirit of
love.
And he didn't say, I gave you spirits of. He didn't say that, did he, Archie? He said, I give you the spirit, singular, power, love, and a sound mind. We separated. All three have to be there. I've given you the spirit. I have not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Now let's see. So if I want power, I have to have the love. But if I don't have faith, then I can't love and I won't have any power. So now I find myself in a position where I am powerless. I don't love, I have no faith, and I find myself going out of my mind. Because I don't have, let the three stay together. I want the power, I gotta love. Because love will work my faith, and no matter what comes, I'll have a sound mind. And as long as I have a sound mind, I'll never have a power outage. Never. Where are we? Folks, when we do those things, as I said before, if the power's out too long, it'll cause you to believe that God ain't. You don't want to leave the power off too long. You don't want to turn it off for a millisecond. But when you believe everything that God has said, and you receive everything that he said, it can never be said about any of you, any of us, what a generation. No sense of God. No focus to your lives. No, they'll say, what a generation. They'll say, look at how they focus on who they are in Christ. It's as if God is thinking through them. They got it. You say, no matter what word you give them, they soak it right up and act on it. And the power out of this place will just keep flowing and flowing and flowing. Everyone say, I am not going to be a victim of a power outage. I have a sense of God. I'm focused on who I am in Christ. I hear, receive, and do everything that's said. We are the generation that's going to prove to this world that there is a God and he's operating in me. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We give you alone all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. You are good. You are good. Your mercy endures forever. Your truth is everlasting. We thank you, Lord. You keep us from generation to generation. Lord, we thank you. May every word that you spoke today have an indelible mark in our hearts. May it fill our bodies, Father, with your glory, your praise, and your power. Let it flow out of us, Father, on behalf of others, so that they will know that you are, and that you love them, and that you have a plan for their life. Thank you, Lord, that in every situation, we're obedient to what you say. We put aside any other agenda, and we jump right back into the middle of your perfect will. And for that, we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, you're good. 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 Glory to your name. Glory to your name, Lord. Glory to your name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. No power outage here. No power outage here, Lord. Full power. That's all that's ever going to come out of this place. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.